Welcome to Blathering Blatherskites. We are on episode number 87. We are on the third week in a row. We are on a roll, guys. And I am one of your hosts, Ken Doman, joined by Robbie Baxter.
And we also have Ryan Rhodes.
Hey, everybody.
Ryan, yep. Good evening, guys. We are recording on the evening, February 22nd. And
so I'll have this posted in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, probably.
Yeah, probably. It's good. Everything will be red hot and current in 3 weeks.
It sucks because it's like Monday nights are great. I can do this Monday nights, but then Tuesday is like my busiest day of work. Goes into the evening. It's crazy, but
yeah, it'll get there.
I'm the editor in chief. So
right.
You're doing better than I can do. So you're doing great.
Yep. Yeah. So what's been going on this week, guys? Robbie, you've been staying busy. You got anything good going on? Have you been watching anything? Do anything fun?
Just WandaVision is the biggest thing I'm up on right now. I think you guys are watching it too. Is that right?
Same. Yeah. My kids have gotten really into it. Like, they haven't gotten into any other Marvel stuff. Hmm. And for some reason, this hits
their... Do they have enough context to understand what's going on?
A little bit. They've watched a few other Marvel movies, but they've never been that into them.
I think a bunch of adults don't have enough context, and they've watched all the Marvel movies.
They're not understanding all of it. They're just enjoying the ride. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much they're getting out of it. And we end up watching them, like, a couple of times. Because it's we'll watch it, and they'll want to watch it again. And I get a little bit more out of it, and it's an enjoyable enough show. I don't mind watching it a couple of times. And it's, you know, it's short. They're only like half an hour, so.
Too short.
Yeah, I think
they are too, Robbie.
But
I'm paying $5 a month for Disney Plus. I need 45-minute shows. Come on.
You didn't get in on the, what was it, like a three-year deal?
Yeah, no, I actually did, so it's like $3.50. Yeah.
Right, yep. Same here. That. Yeah.
That mouse scaled me some more.
Yeah. But there's only two left. And I think the show has been, it's just been like a long Marvel movie to me. I feel like it's been the production quality is there, and like the writing and the kind of surprises. Last week was a pretty big one.
It was Agatha all along.
Yeah, all along.
It was Agatha. I mean, that is so. My wife and I have been singing that stinking song all like weekend.
Is Agatha the Scarlet Witch? No, that's what I don't understand.
No, Agatha was the woman saying it was Agatha all along. She was.
Yeah.
She was the neighbor.
Yeah. Yep.
That's okay.
She's Agatha Harkness. Is that right?
Harkness. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which I on the rumor sites, I kind of heard that name. Mm-hmm. Thrown out there a while ago, so there are people that did kind of know that was coming, but
there's so, like, my wife will watch a show, and then we'll spend the next hour of her like doing research on what happened, because we usually watch it Friday night. So there's been 24 hours or, you know, 18 hours of speculation after the episode, so we can talk she just reads a bunch of stuff about it. There's so much depth to the Marvel comic universe that, like, oh, well, this may mean this. And it's like, holy cow, like, these people. And they get this out within, like, 12 hours. Like, all these theories and stuff. Like, they know I thought I knew a lot about Star Wars. But, like, these people know so much about Marvel.
What I can't believe is I'll get up on Friday morning and I'll see, like, just check my news feed. And there are already people, like, posting all this stuff about the show. I'm like, man, it came out at, like, 3 a.m. or something. I'm like, just hold on a minute. It's like, I want to watch it tonight. You know,
it is 3 a.m. because my wife and I tried to stay up to watch The Mandalorian at midnight one time, and it was like, Where is it? Oh, it's midnight Pacific.
Yep.
Because Disney's in California.
Well, Hollywood, I guess. I don't know. They have to pick one and pick us, you know, and they probably, it eases their.
Why'd they pick the stupid one?
You know what? I bet they picked that one because there are people that will stay up till midnight and it doesn't hit their servers so much. Yeah. There, because if they did it on midnight East Coast, you would have the whole East Coast and West Coast hitting it at the same time. And I think when the last episode dropped, it did kind of affect their service. I don't know if it went down, but it was having some issues. So, yeah, because it's a popular show, it's huge. When Disney Plus first released, they were having all kinds of issues. I remember we couldn't watch The Mandalorian for like the first day or so because it wasn't able to get in. You're kind of in the queue to get in line to watch it.
Like waiting to play World of Warcraft.
I guess, yeah, yep. That when big releases came out,
they would do that. Right? Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, there was like the one time I played. I mean, I don't play World of Warcraft anymore because I'm an adult.
You're out of that. Yeah.
But the one time I did take off work on a Monday or Tuesday or Friday or something to play the new release, and it was unplayable. Like you couldn't do anything. Like I wasted an entire day, a vacation day.
That's why I've learned that. Yeah, you don't take off the day the thing comes out. You take the day after because.
One of my friends did, you know, he was able to get in so fast and move ahead of the crowd that it actually worked really well for him. And he and another one of his friends got through a bunch of stuff before anybody got there, but nice. I got kind of stuck in one spot and couldn't do anything.
Okay. So. Yeah. But the only other game I've been playing, it's an old one. I saw that they had a sale on Kingdom Hearts on Xbox. They had the whole, not the newest one, Kingdom Hearts 3, but all of the other ones, like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and then there's a bunch of the Game Boy or portable versions of games.
Oh, really? Wasn't that originally a PlayStation exclusive?
It was. It was a PlayStation 2 game, and it was an exclusive. And then the Game Boy Color or the DS, one of those, or Game Boy Advance, one of those had a Kingdom Hearts game on it. And I didn't even realize it came with that package, so it's got a whole bunch of them. But my son and I started with the first one, and it's called Final.
You're playing it on the Xbox?
Xbox, yeah. Xbox One, Xbox One X, to be specific. Not the Series X, though. That's the newest one.
Yeah, it'll work on the Xbox, like original Xbox One, though, right?
It will, yeah. That's the kind of cool thing about the Xbox ecosystem. It's like, if you have an Xbox One, it plays everything. Yeah, just your load times will be slower, and frame rate and all that stuff won't be as fancy, but it's an old game anyway. Like you said, it's a PlayStation 2 game, and it looks good, but it's kind of fun. My son's 7, and it has enough of the Disney characters, but it also has this really weird, can't emphasize weird enough, storyline to it. It's kind of like Final Fantasy mixed with Disney. And I'm sure Robbie, you or Beth are probably seen it or played it.
We've seen it. I've never played it because we never owned a PlayStation, but this is really intriguing to me because I know she's wanted to play it.
Yeah.
And I need to figure out how much is it for the pack or whatever.
I got it on sale. It was like $12. It was pretty cheap. Yeah. I don't know if it's still on sale, but yeah, check out the Microsoft Xbox store and see if it's on there.
Say that title one more time.
That's Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts, and it's made by Square Enix, Square who makes Final Fantasy, and they had a deal with Disney where they made this just incredibly bizarre role-playing. It's an action role-playing game.
Yeah. You collect keys or something, right?
You have a keyblade, and you collect all kinds of different stuff, and it is like an RPG. You got potions and different abilities and stuff you get throughout the game, but they classify it as an action RPG, which means it doesn't, the action doesn't stop and you choose your move. You're just actually jumping and hitting stuff like in real time. Unlike some, like the original Final Fantasy was that turn-based style. This one's a little more just action focused. And we're doing it on the easiest level because, my son's 7 and he wants to see the weird story and all the Disney characters when they come into it and stuff. So it's fun. And you kind of play alongside Donald and Goofy. They're your kind of assistants. And then your character Sora is just this new character. He's not in any of the Disney stuff and except for this, but it's a fun game. It's really long. So we're really at the beginning. I think it's like probably a 20 or 30 hour game. Maybe longer, I don't know. We're trying it out. It's a fun one if you haven't done it before. And if you're really into Disney, it's pretty cool because it's a lot of really neat Disney artwork and different characters. And they got a lot of original voices too. I think James Woods did the Hades in it. And the main character, Sora, is Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense. He did the voice because when that game came out, I think that was like right when he was really big. But he did the voice through all of them, I think. The same guy did it all. But it hadn't been on Xbox for the longest time. And I think it was pretty recent, like last year they ported it.
Yeah, I was looking up the article. I think it was actually, maybe the very end of 2019.
Okay. Yeah. So not that's terribly long.
Well,
ago.
No, I might be. I'm reading it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Because yeah, I've been wanting to get like the whole collection, and I thought about getting it on PlayStation, and it was never really cheap, and when I saw that for $12, I was like, yeah, I want it. You know, at least, and I thought it was just the first two games, but you get a little more than that. So, yeah, Ryan, I don't know if your kids would like that. I know you guys have an Xbox, right? The Xbox One S. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's going to play that or not. He plays a lot of different games. Mostly it's Fortnite. He plays Sea of Thieves, and I try to keep up on it as much as I can. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kids are into Breath of the Wild right now.
Oh, that's a great game. Yeah. I mean, single player, though. So they just take turns, or they watch each other play, or
they take turns and watch it. I mean, like I told you guys last week, like my kids got 20 minutes of screen time a day. So they play Zelda for 20 minutes, and then the next one plays for 20 minutes. So it's fine.
That's it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, 20 minutes usually turns into like 30 minutes, or, oh, I got to do one more thing, or, you know,
gotta get to the save point, man. You got to finish the.
Yeah. So.
I just shut the router off of my app.
There you go.
That's a pretty brutal move, but
Well, the Switch, you don't. I don't think.
It wouldn't work on the Switch, but that's a good idea for Fortnite and other online games for sure.
Right.
Oh, the internet's out. Crap.
Sorry, guys.
Anything that's connected to my router, I can shut it off. So.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So Ryan, anything else you've been watching or playing anything lately?
I'm addicted to Call of Duty. I don't mind telling you.
Okay.
Yeah, I play that way too much.
Yeah. I just PC? Love that
game. On the PC.
PC? Nice. So, okay. Yeah, so. Which one? Because there's like 100 different Call of Duties now.
This one's actually good. It's like the Microsoft updates. So like every other one is like a good one. So
right.
So this is Modern Warfare. Now they have...
is it the Cold War? Cold War was the latest one, right?
Yeah, I haven't bought that. So you can play. Okay. They basically made something called Warzone, which is like, it's ripped off Fortnite. The kind of that whole thing.
The battle royale, yeah.
You drop in, and then the zones shrink.
Last man standing, yeah.
Yeah, and they call that tear gas or something. I don't know. Instead of like a storm, it's tear gas.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So you any good at this? Yeah. Oh, okay. I was gonna say, have you ever gotten first place on that? Because is it 100 player or?
It's ginormous. I actually can't play too well on Warzone, but I can actually hold my own if I play just the multiplayer.
Okay, just the regular.
I do pretty good on that. For 21-year-old playing 9-year-olds, I do pretty well.
Right. You don't quite have the Twitch speed they do, but yeah.
Do you play on a controller, Ryan, or do you use the keyboard?
I do play
mouse?
On a controller. I couldn't do keyboard. I tried keyboard and mouse one time with my son.
Yeah,
it was like Greek. I suppose I could learn that. It's just muscle memory.
It's a learning curve. Yeah, it's weird. Certain games I can do keyboard and mouse, but I still play Destiny a lot. And that's when I started playing on PC. I kept doing the controller because I just was used to it and I just stick with it. But other like PC based stuff, I just use keyboard. But yeah, that's cool, Ryan. It's a fun game.
It is fun. I do play Fortnite a little bit with my son. That game drives me nuts. I don't know how you can build and shoot. Nobody does that in real life. I just
building a huge tower, climbing up it as you're shooting. Yeah, sure.
Isn't
that what the Army Corps of Engineers does?
Yeah, right.
But I gotta be careful how much I let Stone play Call of Duty, because especially online, we usually always put the mute on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I don't. I don't really use voice chat. In the Destiny world, the only time I do that is for the raids, which is you have to talk to each other because you're trying to figure stuff out together. But which there is a free to play version of that, Ryan. If you get it, I would help you out with it because it's
what is it called?
Destiny 2. Yeah, it's on PC, on Steam. But you can get they have a free version, and it gives you the main like basic story mode. And then, if you like it at all, you can get all the expansions. But it's pretty cool. It's good stuff.
So I know my Stone wants, or my son, I should say, his name's Stone now, everybody. Anyways, he's wanting to get into this, you know, online channel and do stuff. And when he seen the microphone, he was all in. So
okay.
I think we're going to be doing this more and more. So we'll see.
What was he all in on?
He wants to have a channel and be able to, you know, make his Minecraft videos and
stream it. And okay. You know, okay. Gotcha. So, that's the dream now. It's like when we were kids, it's like we wanted to be game designers or like game makers.
Game testers. Kids now, that we wanted to do
game tester. Yeah. That was the dream job. Yeah, because you got
it was, but early. Like then you find out later, like that's the most horrible job in the world.
It sucks. Yeah, it would be an awful existence because you have to play the game so much, you end up hating it.
Test it, like you just go like up to this wall. Okay, I can't go through that. Can I go through here? And you're just like practicing every little possible thing you can think of.
Yeah. So I. Right. But when you're a kid, that sounded amazing. It's like,
oh, yeah, you just play games all day.
Yeah. But now the kids all want to be streamers of the games. They don't want to make them or test them. They want to just play them for other people to watch. Many kids, that's what they want to do. And it's like, well, okay.
Good to have dreams.
Try it. Yeah. See how it goes. All right. Well, main topic of the show tonight, we have a couple of things. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Mars landing because that's like really current big news. NASA landed the Perseverance rover on Mars on February 18th. Either you guys catch the landing or see it, or
I watched it live. So like a bunch of people like really excited about something, we couldn't really see anything. Like they kept showing the rendering, but then
they're tracking the telemetry.
And it's like 11 minutes after it actually happened, so it was really, really good. But but then today somebody shared the actual video with me, the HD version of it, and that was really cool to watch. Did you see that, Ryan, the HD version?
I missed it. I've got some other comments, but I didn't see the video.
I haven't seen the HD. I watched it live like you did, and I saw some of the still images as they started coming in, but I hadn't seen much else in that. I think today even they were live streaming some stuff that some data they were getting. They had some new photos they're showing. Today they actually had the first time you could hear audio from another planet. They actually equipped it with microphones, which, you know, not too exciting because it was just the wind blowing, but still it's the first audio from another planet, and they captured that audio, and it was kind of neat. Honestly, it's like a very mundane thing, but also completely incredible. They actually equipped it with microphones just to kind of get that extra bit of data, and they could do it. And so they went ahead and put them on there.
Do you think they equipped it with microphones because they thought they might meet someone to talk to?
Just in case. Why not?
You're not on Mars.
Probably.
What did the Mars attack aliens say all the time? Like, you remember that? Like they say the same thing. Over, I can't remember what it is. Never mind.
Oh shoot! Yeah, I saw that movie once, and I both loved it and hated it.
I think I watched it with you.
Yeah, because it was so just awful. But then when you think about it, it's like, no, it's a decent movie. But I didn't know what to expect when I went into that. It was definitely weird, and they just kill off everybody. So I wasn't prepared for that.
Now, what I found particularly interesting with this one, if I'm not mistaken, is that 7 minutes of whatever that period of time was, landed itself. It wasn't guided in.
Exactly. Yeah. It had to be completely automated. Because like Robbie's saying, there's a huge delay, like 10, 11 minutes. So you can't steer with an 11 minute delay. So it had to be able to guide itself in. Completely on its own. Not only that, the rover has autonomous driving. It can actually do a lot of the driving on its own now. Previous rovers had to deal with that delay, and you'd go a couple inches, you'd look around, go a few more inches. So this one can do a lot more than that. And they also have a helicopter drone that was built into it. They haven't deployed that yet, but it'll be able to do, I think, 90 second little
jaunts,
quick jaunts around Mars. But yeah, it's a way to get more data, more photography. And it also, it was pretty special helicopter because the atmosphere, you know, Mars isn't like Earth. It's like 1% of the atmosphere we have. So it's a pretty special helicopter. So when we see that go, that'll be pretty neat. I think that's sometime later in the spring, though. They have to do some other stuff first.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm curious what they're going to do what these other countries are doing. There's like this random country just watching what we're doing.
You know, well, sure.
I'm curious in a couple of days what these other countries are going to say when they, you know, because they're really curious about the automated landing process. I know they were sitting back and waiting.
Well, I think it was the Israelis. They had a probe. They were trying to land on the moon. And that was about a year and a half, year ago, somewhere. Man, I wish I had the dates on that. But they kind of missed it. I mean, it hit the moon, but it hit it hard. And they lost it. You know, they lost their lander, which just shows just how difficult this is. I mean, I'm sure they had it very close. It was within just a few meters of the surface when they lost it. So it's not like they completely biffed it. It's so exact. Like you have to be perfect. I mean, it has to be perfect or it doesn't work. So, but it's really neat. And it's something we're going to be getting a lot of cool stuff from, you know, throughout the next year. I think it's actually a 2-year mission. It's one full, Mars year. So one complete, revolution of the sun for Mars.
That'll be interesting because at some point won't we be on opposite sides of the sun and we won't be able to get
it will be at some point. So yeah, there might be a point where it's gathering data where we're not able to get it for a little while, I'm sure, because you can't transmit through the sun. At some point in the mission we probably will have a kind of blackout stage of it.
That's cool.
The other cool thing I want to mention from it is that they are collecting soil samples. They're going to be analyzing them on the rover, on the probe, but it's also going to leave those there for a later mission to pick them up and bring them back to Earth, which is really cool. That never done before. So eventually we're going to have a little piece of Mars here on Earth, but there is still a lot that has to happen for that to come to fruition, but that's the plan. It's doing a lot of really neat stuff. Some breakthrough things that have never been done before. So 2021, it's actually a really cool year for space exploration. In addition to this, the Perseverance, we have the James Webb telescope is being launched in October. And I don't know if you guys know anything about that, but it's a pretty big deal. It's like a $10 billion telescope there, sending out much farther out than the Hubble.
Okay.
So it'll be able to see much, much farther out, and it won't have as much interference from the Earth. So, because it's going to be quite a ways out.
Earth orbit?
It's really far. Like, I don't know. It's past the moon. So if it is in orbit, I think it'll still be in orbit. Otherwise we would lose it, but it's going to be quite a ways out there, as far out as I think they can, they can put it, and still be able to keep control of it and be able to get data from it. We should learn a lot more when they get that launched out there. If you have a chance to look at that, the James Webb is a pretty neat project, and it's end up costing a lot more and taking a lot more time than I think they thought it would. But it was supposed to launch in March of this year, and it got delayed till October. So,
It really is a shame. Most people don't pay more attention to this because
I think it's getting a little more popular, because I think for a while like during the shuttle era, I feel like, and then immediately after that, like when they kind of stopped doing the shuttle missions, interest did really wane. And then we have these private companies like Blue Origin and SpaceX and Virgin Galactic. I think a lot of them brought attention back to it. And then you have someone like Elon Musk, who's just this, you know, whatever he is. He's like this character, this guy that gets a lot of attention. And he does bring a lot of attention to space travel and exploration. And he's super ambitious. We'll see what, you know, what they're able to do. But they're planning manned missions to Mars. I mean, that kind of stuff is coming. It's just a matter of when, if this decade or next.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. American, if you're like me, I was pretty torn up about Kim and Kanye getting divorced. And
that was the big news, yeah.
Yeah, that just really broke me up.
That hit you hard. Just out of nowhere. Can't believe it.
Yeah. And we only went a bazillion miles away to a different planet it's just absolutely fascinating.
It is funny how the news cycle is. Like they'll cover the Mars lander for like 10 seconds, and then they'll have a half hour story about Kim and Kanye. So, you know, whatever.
But it is cool. Is cool. I'm looking at pictures now. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause these are higher resolution photos than they've ever been able to get. They're doing some neat stuff. So, if you get a chance of anybody that's listening to this, I would highly suggest checking it out.
And you guys should watch the HD landing video, I don't know if it's HD or not, but it's much better quality from the point of view of the actual payload. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yep.
Definitely. You get to see the parachute go up and.
Wow. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Nice. We'll kind of keep tabs on that and, you know, maybe update on the podcast if it's something really
follow
cool.
Follow it on happens. Twitter.
Yep. Yeah. You can follow it on Twitter.
You can't, Ryan, but other people can.
I live vicariously through others.
Just go on and anonymously find out that way. I think that's all I had for on the Perseverance mission. But wanted to talk about it. It is something really neat that hopefully it's inspiring kids out there to get more into this stuff. And
I'm trying to get my kids into it. I got them like when we had the manned mission to the ISS this summer.
Yeah.
I did get them to sit down, like my neighbors and I said, we were at a birthday party. I said, hey guys, really want to watch this. And so the whole family sat down and we watched it. And it was really cool. Okay.
That's cool.
I did not get the kids. I got some of the kids to watch this, but I don't know. There's some,
it's tough to hold their attention.
Yeah. Well, and this one in particular wasn't like, you couldn't see the astronauts getting into the ISS. You couldn't see them blasting out, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
right. And it's not like a SpaceX launch where you get to see it crash down into the ground when they're done.
It was a little harder to watch, but I think I'm definitely going to let them watch the video I watched today. That was really cool. So
very cool. The other main topic I wanted to talk about tonight is cryptocurrency. It's been around for a while now. It's fake money, but isn't all money fake? Isn't that a good question? It's digital currency that gets basically assigned a value, and it tends to be really volatile. And we've seen, especially Bitcoin is the one that everybody talks about. It's the most popular. It's also the most valuable currently. It broke $50,000 per coin sometime in the last week.
Yep.
So, so how many Bitcoins do you guys have, first of all?
How many Bitcoins do I have and know where they are?
Right. Exactly. I have a fraction of one that I have in a wallet somewhere, and it's only worth like $100 now, which is, you know, it's not bad.
$100 you didn't have.
Exactly.
But you don't know where the wallet is?
No, I do. I have it.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I have Bitcoins on some wallet that I had years ago, and I don't know where it is.
Like whole coins.
I think it's like a third of one though. So like it's
still a lot.
Amount.
Still a lot.
Yeah. A third of a coin would be $15,000?
Yeah. So, well,
I can't find it. I can't find that wallet. I can't find it on my backups. I don't know what happened to it. I got out of I was really into Bitcoin for a little like a spell, and like I was mining and I was doing all the stuff. And then it kind of like I lost interest, and then I don't know where it went.
So I think of all of us, I think Robbie, you probably have the best understanding of cryptocurrency. You think you could explain it to Ryan and I, like we're 5 years old.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think the first problem is that we're talking about cryptocurrency when really the thing that's really cool about it is the blockchain.
Okay.
And so blockchain is just the way of storing value to and from people. It is immutable, so it doesn't change. Like everything that ever happened to blockchain is, or in Bitcoin is on the blockchain. So you have a ledger of it from beginning of time to end of time. And you have a bunch of computers that form a consensus to say that, yes, I agree, that's what it should be. And so that way you don't now there have been some forks where the chain has forked into multiple versions. And that's one of the problems with Bitcoin is I think it's forked at least once.
Yeah. There's Bitcoin Cash. Is that another? Okay.
And then Ethereum as well has had a fork. Mm-hmm. And so that's happened. I haven't looked into the history of why that happened, but you know, those are some kind of scary things that can really mess with your value if you that kind of stuff. But in general, blockchain, just the underlying technology, is very useful for tracking things. Because let's say if you give a shipping container an address and you put it on a ship, that's a transaction. So it goes on a blockchain and the ship moves across the ocean and gets that container gets unloaded. That's a transaction. It goes on the blockchain. And so you can really, from start to finish, you can track assets, including bitcoins or coins or cryptocurrency. And so the original way that Bitcoin was created was, you know, this mining operation, which wasn't a big deal. Like you just had to have a decent CPU and eventually, and all it is like doing these kind of hard math problems.
Yeah.
And then you produce a coin and now you have a Bitcoin. And the reason I think they did that, and I'm probably not completely right here, was to make it scarce and make it harder and harder to get. And so now, like the maximum amount of Bitcoin that will ever be in the world is like 21 million, I think. And I think we're at like 18 million now. And it may not be for another 15 years till we have the last one. It's just so hard to get the next one now. And it's such amount of processing power. It's really, really ridiculous.
The energy to make a coin is almost not worth it. It's got to get to the point where the energy to produce a coin.
Right.
And you're using all this energy for nothing material, right?
Yeah, you're not producing anything.
You're not solving cancer. You're not, you're not bending proteins. You're not. So that's one of the big problems I have with Bitcoin, and one of the reasons I probably won't invest in it is I don't agree with the use. So it's called proof of work, is what it is. And there's newer versions now called proof of stake. And instead of using all this work to create coins, you create a consensus model. With people in people who own it, so they have a stake in it, so they're a proof of stake, and so that's how you create consensus. Whereas proof of work was kind of the idea was if you're putting all this effort into it to build these things, you're not going to want it to tank.
Right. Yeah. You're so truly invested.
So how do you get? My biggest question from an outsider just getting into cryptocurrency is this money, whether it's digital or tangible, what you can hold in your hand. That money has to move through the system. So all of these guys are holding it.
They're not.
How is it?
It's like a stock. I mean, you're trading it. People are buying and selling constantly. There are exchanges, kind of like the New York Stock Exchange, but there's several of them that you can buy and sell them. And people day trade it. So they try to buy low and sell high over a day. And so there's lots of, we say there's only 21 million total, but you can do very, very small fractions of that. So it's billions and billions and billions of possibilities to transact it. You put your money in like you would into a stock, into a cryptocurrency and on an exchange, and you get it back. And then you can either keep that coin or that asset at the exchange. Like think of like an E-Trade account or something. You keep your stock there. But the cool thing about cryptocurrency is it's more decentralized. So you can actually download that stock or download that coin into your personal wallet that you have on your computer, or you can actually, all it really is a private key. So it's a series of numbers and letters. You can write it down on a piece of paper and store it somewhere really, really safe.
Yeah.
And you have access to that. Nobody has your private key, so they can't access your funds. And when you're ready to exchange it again, you put the private key into one of these systems and say, I own this private key and I want to send the money here or something like that. But like what I've done for the cryptocurrency I have, I bought it on Coinbase.
Yeah.
Coinbase Pro actually is cheaper. And then I downloaded it to my personal wallet on my phone. And then I have a hardware device called a Ledger. And it is, it's, you know, very hard to hack. It'd be very difficult to hack. And I store my private key on that Ledger device. So it's not actually on my phone. So if I want to do a transaction, I have to have that Ledger device with me to do that transaction. Right. I can look on my phone and see how much I have, but really to do anything with it, I need that hardware key.
Okay.
So that's like one of the safer ways to do it. I mean, like I said, you can write your key down on a piece of paper and put it somewhere safe.
Yeah.
That's what people, those are called paper wallets.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But then you also have a public key. So the public key is essentially the address somebody would use to send money to you or send a coin to you. And you can give that out to anybody you want. And like sellers and people who use Bitcoin as like, or cryptocurrency in general to, you know, receive coins for services would publish their public key and people would pay them essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I have a public key on my phone wallet. And so that's what I use to send from Coinbase Pro once I bought it to my phone. And then it's encrypted with the private key. I own it now, that kind of thing. So, but again, I don't like Bitcoin. I don't really like Ethereum either. And there's going to be Ethereum 2.0 coming out. Ethereum's like the second biggest cryptocurrency right now.
And it's gone up
as far as market cap.
Yeah.
Market cap. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about earlier the doggy coin or Doge coin,
right?
And that's something that's made some headlines lately. And it was something that was, I think it was literally was created as a joke.
Yep.
But
anybody can do it. It's just software, right? I mean, it's just software.
And it's really similar to Bitcoin. I believe they used very similar technology to make it. And, you know, it's just kind of a clone of that, but they just thought it'd be funny to call it Dogecoin and to have the little dog icon on the, you know, that's the thing. And just a few months ago, it was like a fraction of a cent per coin. Yeah. And then, you know, again, Mr. Musk started pumping it up, and along with Reddit threads and some other places where.
Yeah, it was all around the GameStop kind of area
at
the time, right?
Yeah. Yep. And you had some celebrities also, like Gene Simmons of all people, that was pumping it up, and some other people, and it gained quite a bit of traction there for a little bit. It got to the point, I think it was topped out at around 8 cents a coin or something like that, somewhere around there, which is a lot considering it was only a fraction of a cent, you know, just months before that. So it had
So if somebody like Elon Musk was really smart, he could have bought like $1 million worth of that and then said something about it and then sold it for hundreds of millions of dollars.
He could have.
And hypothetically.
That
sounds like a pump and dump to me.
It does. But how would you even prove that? Because it's anonymous. Like, how would you even know if he did that?
They took down Silk Road.
Yeah. So
the government can track things. Well, the other thing, so it is anonymous, right? It's anonymous in that you're the one who has your private key.
Right.
But it's also not anonymous because the entire blockchain is stored on
in public. All the transactions.
I mean,
are there.
The whole idea is that it's decentralized, it's open, and that anybody could look at that blockchain and say, "Yes, this I audited it, and this like I could go look on, you know, the currency I trade in or I play with. I can go look online and see who the biggest wallets are, like who has the biggest wallets. I can see their key, their public key, but." I don't know who they are necessarily, but the government was smart enough with Bitcoin to be able to find out who was involved with Silk Road, which is a kind of a dark web trading company for illicit things. And a lot of people went down for that.
Yeah. Even though they were trading with crypto.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that kind of brings us to a really recent story. I saw today the new Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was talking about cryptocurrency
and was saying how it's extremely inefficient, which we kind of talked about.
Yeah, I said that too.
How much energy it takes to produce these things, and it's kind of a waste of energy when you look at it. Sure. I think they're comparing it to like the amount of power it takes to run like New Zealand or something. That's how much power we're putting into mining Bitcoin.
Yeah, which it's immense.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So I don't think Bitcoin's going to be like the de facto cryptocurrency. I think it's broke a lot of the ground. It's got the interest there, but I feel like the door is still open for another currency to come in and kind of do it right, I guess, and fill that need. Cause I feel like it is kind of a need now because people understand how the benefits of this, like how you can trade anywhere in the world very quickly and securely. You know, that's pretty attractive to a lot of people, not just drug dealers.
Well, quickly if you're not using Bitcoin, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because Bitcoin, is there a delay?
It's like several. I don't know. Like I've heard people say 1 or 2 hours sometimes.
Okay. Still not like the old days where transactions would take, a couple days to wire. Oh,
this is not wire transfers from my bank in Indiana through the New York bank overseas to the London bank, and everybody taking money along the way. No, that's what this is. That's the dream of blockchain and cryptocurrency is cheap ways to send money.
Right. And you don't have to deal with exchange rates or anything because this is the currency, and it's like, it's universal anywhere in the world. You know, if you're dealing a Bitcoin, you don't have to transfer it to Euro Bitcoin or whatever. It's,
if you want more of it, you may have to buy it with your currency, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I think it's kind of here to stay, right? You guys going to agree with that? That it's going to be around for a while.
I think Bitcoin took me for Bitcoin personally. So I've talked about what I haven't talked about what I actually like which coin I want to use, but I think I heard somebody say that Bitcoin is kind of the gold. It's kind of it's the gold of cryptocurrency. It's been around the longest. It has a set cap, like 21 million coins. The market cap won't go up. I mean, the cap of coins won't go above that. So it's kind of a fixed supply, similar to gold to some degree.
Right.
And so people may use it to store value. But I don't think it is. There are so many new, what they call altcoins, like not Bitcoin, that have technological advantages. That I think when Janet Yellen talks about it, and if you read that article, she hints that there's other cryptocurrencies or new ones out there that might work better. And I think I found one of them, and that's why I've invested in it. It's called Algorand. Okay. And so I brought up an infographic, like it's kind of like, so take Ethereum, the maximum number of transactions you can have in Ethereum per second is 20. Algorand right now is 1,000, and they're upgrading it soon to 46,000.
Wow.
Second.
Oh, that's huge.
Finality, like sending something from me to you and it being finalized on the blockchain for Ethereum takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Algorand is 4.5 seconds right now, and they're actually upgrading that to 2.5 in the next release.
Wow.
Right now, to send Ethereum to somebody, the average cost is like, I think it's $21. Mm-hmm. To send Algorand is 0.1 cent.
Oh, man.
And then, like, also with Algorand right now, like, there's going to be 10 billion total, and that will happen, like, that number will be in 2030. Until then, the people who originally backed it, they get a trickle of coins as they come into the market, as well as anybody who owns them. Like I have a wallet right now, and I own Algorand coins, and I get 7% annual percentage yield. Mm-hmm. And it compounds daily or however often you want to do it. The reason it compounds whenever you want is you have to actually send a transaction on the chain in order to reap your rewards. So every 3 or 4 days, I'll send a zero transaction to myself, and then I get my rewards come in.
Okay.
So I earn Algorand. I don't own dollars, But what I like it because I think it's something like it has a possibilities of like you being used for stable coins. And what stable coins are is like the US dollar. You don't go on a market and buy a US dollar for $1.20. You don't do that, right?
Right.
But you have a dollar, but I want to send a dollar to my friend in London. So I use a US dollar coin, which is built on top of another one of these technologies. And I think Algorand might be the technology they use for that because of the things I listed off of the speed and the cheapness and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can send your money, your US dollars. And so there's already an island in the Caribbean who's building their digital currency on top of this. There's several other, there's like, I don't know, a bunch of 750 plus different projects on top of this particular coin, which is why I like it. Anyway, so I can talk. That's the one I've researched the most. There's some other really good ones out there. There's like Cardano, and there's a bunch of other like these altcoins that are really interesting that solve certain problems. But I just like this one because it's got like a Turing Award winner cryptographer from MIT. It's got like this whole foundation. It's got a lot of big business backing. It checks a lot of boxes. Like when MasterCard talks about what cryptocurrency they're going to use for things, it checks a lot of those boxes. Mm. When PayPal does it, it checks a lot of those boxes, or most or all of those boxes. So I'm not invested in this because I think what's going to happen is going to go skyrocket to $58,000 a coin. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
I think that's where Bitcoin is going to be the same. It's going to be that way forever. It's going to be crazy valuation. But what staking in Algorand gives me is governance. So if more companies get on board to this, like use it, the underlying, it's an infrastructure play is all it is. Like I'm investing in the infrastructure and I get a vote in the infrastructure. So if we want to raise prices, you know, as a governance board, we can raise prices. And then eventually that's how I get paid, is through transactions, but that's not until 2030. So it's a really long hold.
Playing the long game. Yeah. Playing the real long game.
But you think about it though, let's say I own 1,000.
Yeah.
Next year I'll have 1,007.
Okay.
The year after that, I'll have 1,016, you know, over 10 years, that compounding interest, I have a little bit more skin in the game, so to speak. And you can buy and sell it if you want to, but I'm not day trading it. It's, you know, but that's just me. Like,
was it,
I don't want to 7%? Talk too much about it.
Is it 7% or 0.7%?
7%.
Okay. So if you had 1,000, you'd have 1,070, right?
Yeah. Duh.
Yeah.
Okay. 1,070.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. And it changes. Like right now is at the peak of the APY. So they're slowly, like this is how they make more of them. Instead of Bitcoin, like where you mine it, this is proof of stake. So they're giving it to the stakeholders.
Yeah.
So it's essentially interest, but they're giving it to everybody who has a stake. And that's how they add more coins to the pot. So there's like 1.8 million or 1.8 billion right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it'll be 10 billion at the end. So there's going to be huge dilution too. Like if I buy it for a dollar now, it, you know, every, like this month alone, 650 million new coins came into it because the price went up so much. So some of the trickle accelerated. So those early backers were able to, like, it's like a 30-day moving average, like how it comes in. So it actually, that the backers weren't supposed to be solvent until 2025. But because of this accelerated price, like that went down to 2024 now. So there's like this curve, and people on the podcast can't see me doing this curve. Same thing for APY, right? Like we're at kind of the peak, 7%. Next year it might be 6.5%, 5%, 4%.
It's going to go down the other way. It's a bell curve.
Yeah, it's a curve. Okay. Yeah.
So the only way to get this currency to Algorand right now is to just take your US currency or possibly another. Like if you had Bitcoin, you could probably trade it for that.
Trade for it. Yep. On any exchange. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only way to get it, though. You cannot mine it. Nope. You can't, you know, there's no other way to...
You have to have it to get it.
Okay, right, yeah. Right. Okay, so that's a pretty big difference from, Bitcoin-based currencies.
There still has to be, conceptually, you know, if you... I hate to give a history lesson here, but you go back to how when the United States was founded, every state had its own currency. It was a mess.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It was...
So, And then what I'm getting to is one currency's got to rule them all, at least for our nation or other nations. And then you look at
that's kind of what we're going through right now. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's.
So which one's going to come to the top? I mean, it's.
In a lot of ways, the US dollar already does that, right? Like, when China sends money to, I don't know, somewhere, a lot of times it goes through the US dollar in between, right? Like, and so the idea, if anybody builds like, the de facto, like there's a couple US dollar coins now, but they're not like the government tender. Does that make sense? Like there's some company that built a US dollar coin that's called a stable coin, and they have $10,000 in their bank account, and somebody else gives them 5,000. So now there's 15,000 USDC. Somebody else gives them 1,000. Now there's 16,000 USDC. It's not the federal government. Like the government is saying that this is legal tender at all. But when governments start to do that, yeah,
it's going to happen in the last bailout or the last
stimulus.
They were going to it was alleged that that was going to happen, that some people get paid in a crypto type currency.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would make some things easier.
But they hold it.
Yeah. Well, and there was another new one, relatively new, that I kind of talked to you guys a little bit about earlier, like Pi. Last week, called PiCoin. Yeah, PI, yeah. Like, you know, the mathematical phenomena, Pi 3.14. But yeah, the PiCoins is something that they just have an app that you generate it, but you're not actually generating
it. You're not really mining it. It's still proof of stake, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
But you're getting it for being engaged.
Right. There's no money transactions at this point. It's all this kind of theoretical value.
Yeah.
And right now they say right on there that the value is zero because they haven't actually made it
finite.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
They haven't made it finite. There.
Yeah, essentially what they're doing decentralizing it right now. Like they're decentralizing it so that, you know, multiple people have a stake in it and it's not just like one big company or something like that. So I mean, it really is decentralized in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And they do,
and they haven't had to pay a nickel to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, right now, yeah, so there's no money involved in it. They're just trying to get it exactly into a bunch of hands right now. So yeah, all you have to do is download the app. They have, I believe they just have an Android and iPhone versions of it.
I have 24 of them.
24. Yeah.
I got your beat, baby.
But they want you to keep that engagement. So every 24 hours, you have to just open the app and tap a button to keep it generating it. And that way it just kind of keeps it going, keeps that interest there. And you get bonuses for referring people and stuff, but it's not like a full pyramid because you only have one layer. I think it only keeps, you know,
I can see the person who invited me and I can see the people I invited.
Right. And I think that's it. Yeah. So it's not like complete pyramid. It's like just a three stack. So you have yourself and the one that referred you and those that you referred to.
It's a social crypto pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I guess. I just found it really interesting though. When I came across it and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And it's kind of fun seeing, you know, generating these coins, which currently not worth anything.
It's a game, right? It's fun. Well, I think eventually though that the crypto market is going to consolidate and there's not going to be, I mean, there's like 100 coins.
Well, there's hundreds. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. And
well, you are missing this distinct advantage with this particular coin, which I think could be a reason to take off, is that it doesn't consume the energy.
Right.
Bitcoin
doesn't keep the energy.
Well, that's what proof of stake is, really. I mean, that's what like proof of work is dying. Like Bitcoin is going to be the only one left. Ethereum is a proof of work, I believe, now. Mm-hmm. It's actually moving
to
proof of stake.
Yep.
They're going to Ethereum 2.0. So they're completely getting rid of the proof of work aspect. Like it's I think it really has, I think people are convinced that it's a better way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Because you had people, the whole graphics card industry was affected by this thing because you had people buying all these like highest end graphics cards and people that actually wanted them to do the thing they were designed to do couldn't get like them.
Play video games.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it started with like the 10 series, like the 1080 cards became really impossible to get. The 1070s, 1080s, even 1060s.
Yeah, people are building these huge server farms with just GPUs in them.
That's it. Yeah. Just mining Bitcoin or Litecoin or Ethereum. There's a few different ones they're doing. And yeah, just expending a ton of energy to do that. And it, you know, for some of those people, it probably really paid off for them. Even they had some high electric bills, but now, you know, maybe they have a few hundred grand in Bitcoin.
And people are still doing it today, right? There are server farms doing this. So it must be profitable, at least in the long run, they think it will.
So, but well, that's what I wanted to talk about and see kind of where this was going. And I do think you're right. I think the proof of stake, it might be the way it ends up going. And I don't know, it's kind of neat. I know you kind of told me about the Algorand before, but it, yeah, just hearing you go on about it a little bit more in the details.
And you bought something. That's really cool.
I did. I got like
it's
50
probably
bucks.
Down. It's probably down.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying not to watch it too close. I'm like, no,
I really wouldn't. It's a long play. I wouldn't watch it.
Right.
So, Robbie, just one quick question, just for the kind of timestamp this event. What would it cost you to buy one Algo coin or Alpo coin or whatever you call it?
One Algo right now, today.
It's like $1 or something.
$1.09 right now. $1.06. Okay, sorry, $1.06.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of.
I actually have a buy order in right now. I might get it here soon.
Yeah.
So when we're in our 80s and we look back on that,
right? And you've got a billion.
What are we thinking?
Maybe, or you know, in 5 years from now, the foundation will go belly up and there won't be anything left. I mean, who knows? It's that's. I mean, this. I've been buying a few penny stocks lately. And it's very, very similar to gambling, and that's why I like it, because I like gambling. But
it
scratches that itch, right?
Yeah.
But I feel the same way about cryptocurrency. I think ultimately Bitcoin is going to be around for a while. But any of these altcoins, like you just don't know what's going to take off. And I think Ethereum has a leg up right now. And if 2.0 works out as well as they say it will. Now, them saying it and actually delivering it on it are two very different
things. So how do you get in on Ethereum 2.0 right now? If you want to get in on this early, try to hit the ground floor.
I don't know. I have to look. I assume that Ethereum transitions to 2.0.
If you have Ethereum, which I have a little.
Otherwise, Ethereum would have just tanked, right? There has to be some sort of transition from 1 to 2. Otherwise, Ethereum 1 would not be $3,000 a share or coin right now.
You can't certainly alienate the people who have a regular Ethereum.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It won't take off at all. They've got to value that at something.
Yeah. Mining may have slowed down for Ethereum at this point.
Right.
But
yeah.
Then again, if it's still worth it, if they believe in 2.0, they might as well mine to the last second and then
switch. Yeah. Okay. So is that later this year, next year? When are they doing this?
I think it's this year.
This year? Okay.
Because I know like the Algorand community that I'm part of, the echo chamber I'm in.
Yeah.
Ethereum 2.0 is kind of like this kind of looming thing. Like if it really works, then, you know, we might be in trouble. But there's a lot of skepticism about whether or not it's going to work as well as they say it will. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, guys, I think we've had our hour. It goes by quick. But yeah, this was some good conversation. I've been really interested in both of these things. I'm glad we could kind of hash it out a little bit. I don't know if all you guys have learned anything, but I feel like I have. I feel like I came out of this with a little bit more knowledge.
And people are listening to this and I've said something wrong. Like, gosh, I'm still learning, man. So tell me.
Corrections can be made. Yeah. We'll have another episode. Well, thank you guys for chiming in on this. And I'd be interested to kind of follow this a little bit, maybe every few episodes, bring it up, see how some of these currencies are going over time.
See how the Algorands are looking.
Yeah, see how the Algorands are going. Yeah. If it turns out to be good investment or not. And the Pi coin too. That's been kind of fun. Seeing how that works. So yeah. Yeah. If anybody's listening and you want somebody to refer you, you know, message me. I'll get you a referral. Or Robbie or Ryan.
Alderaan?
Yeah. That's...
Great.
Yeah. No, that was a long time ago and in another galaxy.
Galaxy far away.
All right.
That's enough.
Yep. Any final thoughts? Anybody? Yep. All right.
No,
I think we're
good. Week, everybody.
Yep. Thank you everyone for listening. This has been Blathering Blathersky. It's episode 87. We will catch you next time.